Lawyer talk off the record, on the air. They do not teach you that in law school edition. We are going to go a couple things first. Check us out at lawyertalkpodcast.com. Check us out on the socials. If you've got a question, comment, you can send it there. And without further ado, we'll jump into this because we got to kicking around a topic here at the table. And Bella, you had a great question. I'll just let you pose it.
So what's been circling on social media is that Diddy's attorney petitioned the court to step down from the case. And he didn't give like specific reasons on why. They said it was protected by attorney-client privilege, but he said under no circumstances can I defend him. So my question was kind of just like how that works. Can the court deny that and say like you have to continue defending him?
Great questions. I mean, first things first, are we going to call him Diddy or are we going to call him Combs? Because isn't his name Sean Combs?
Yeah, it's Sean Combs.
Like, when he comes to court, the court recognizes P. Diddy at the table? Or are they saying the court? Anyway, I'd make a dumb joke. So I think there is a there's a team of lawyers. So this isn't the only attorney that is representing Diddy. There are probably, I guess he's probably got a half a dozen people on his team. So we don't know exactly what his problem is with P. Diddy. I understand this gentleman is also represented. You said Osama bin Laden, you think?
That's what I heard.
So clearly he's okay with representing people who are...
Social media can't be wrong.
Yeah, we should maybe
unsavory
verify that.
So let's start with that. Like, are we as lawyers, particularly criminal defense lawyers, where do you draw the line? Where's the Overton window close for you on who you're going to represent, who you're not going to represent? Because that's really, you know, that's the heart of the question.
In my head, I'm thinking because of privilege... I understand there's like an ethical obligation, but like, you have to, in my head, I feel like your client can tell you almost anything. And in my head, there's a privilege. And so I would say almost every situation, unless he's planning to do more, then it's like, hey, we gotta stop something here. That's the only time I can imagine it. That's just off the top of my head.
Yep. No, I got you.
I haven't taken ethics yet.
Well, forget about ethics. I'm talking about morality.
Oh,
those are two different things.
Yes. Okay. Morality. I mean,
or is there a case you wouldn't take?
Diddy.
That's right. So look,
according to LeBron James, ain't no party like a Diddy party.
I know attorneys who would not represent somebody accused of sexually abusing a child.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. I've represented plenty of people accused, both people I think that are innocent and both people I think may not be innocent. You know, for all sorts of reasons, I'll do that for the system. And, you know, we can talk the logic of that and how I sleep at night with that, but there is a way I do, but there may be cases that hit home to me in a certain way, and I can't think of one, but hit home to me in a certain way that I just wouldn't do it. I mean, I've been called on, I've had contact with some pretty significant political figures, and somebody working for me at the time was like, "Do you really gonna take that if they hire you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, hell yes, I am." As my buddy, as a good friend of mine once said, it's like we do things as criminal defense lawyers and maybe as humans for money, cause, and ego. And not always, like sometimes one thing is more important than the other in a certain case, but money, cause, and ego. So sometimes my ego is in the way and I want the case. Sometimes I need the money, so I'll take the case even though it's like, I don't care about this case. And then sometimes it's for the cause where somebody I feel like is getting the shaft or it's something I really believe in, I'll go do it. I've argued in the Ohio Supreme Court on a constitutional issue for no money because I believed in the cause. So, you know, there are cases I can contemplate probably where you'd say, you know, maybe a P. Diddy's, you know, rape parties or whatever the hell he was doing. I could see where that might be a line for somebody that they wouldn't want to, they'd say, I don't want anything to do with that guy. I don't want to defend a guy like that. Fair enough. Our duty is not to defend everybody. I learned the ethics this way in sort of a simplified way. A lawyer is not a bus. We don't have to stop at every stop and pick everybody up. You can just keep going right by it and say, no thanks, I'm not going to do it. And we're supposed to, because if you can't provide the kind of representation that somebody needs because you're clouded by your judgment of the person as an individual or maybe the crime they allegedly committed, he's not getting the right defense. It's okay. Somebody else can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I do power washing. That's like my side gig. Sorry. Law school's hard, right? You know, Bill's got
the attorney power washer.
Yeah, the attorney power washer. And my philosophy has always been, if I don't want to do the job, I just charge a lot more to the point they're going to say no. And then in my head, If they say yes, yeah. now I'm getting paid way too much to do
right.
it.
So you've got cause, money, and ego, right?
Well, I'm saying like a child rape case, like maybe you don't want to do that. Totally understandable. Okay, well, why don't you just double your fee? And then
here's the problem. Because if you don't want to do it, and this happens all the time, right? So we're going to quote the kind of fee that they're not going to say yes to, and then they say yes, and you're like, oh, crap. And I don't do that anymore. The fee is the fee. One, because I'm not sure it's ethical to do that, and two, because I'm either going to say no to the case or I'm going to take it. That's that.
So I'm an unethical power washer?
Oh, you can do it in the power washing room.
Okay.
But the reason I question that in what we do is because there's something in our going off in your brain. Your spidey sense is telling you you're not the right lawyer for this case. You have a problem with this on some level. And I guess you would have to analyze internally what the problem is. If the problem may be that you're busy. And, you know, you and I, Troy, have worked on a case like that where somebody came in and said, look, I have a deadline next week for a brief that's going to be, you know, 30 pages of complex writing and research. Can you do it? And I'm looking at my calendar. I'm thinking, oh, I got that, and that. I'm going to have to continue that, move that, do this. You know, it's like, or I'm going to be burning the midnight oil for 8 days straight getting this done. Then I can charge more because, mm-hmm. I was honest about it. I was like, look, I got a deadline next week. I got to charge you more because now I'm working 20 hours a day to get this thing done for you. I think that's fair. Let's say there's plenty of time and that's not the constraint, but I just don't like the SOB. So I'm going to charge a huge fee and I'm going to say, yeah, if he pays it, maybe I'll learn to like him. It's like marrying the wrong woman. Right? It's not going to work.
Well, I don't know yet about that. It
could be the greatest sex in the world and it's still not going to work.
Man, I hope I don't run into that problem.
That may be a bad analogy. But, don't have sex with your clients. It's unethical. But you get the point. It's like if you're reticent to take a case, then maybe you shouldn't take the case. If the resident reticency, you get it. If the reservation is because of some moral or internal dilemma you have with the cause or the person or the crime, mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's what happened to Rico here. So I can't talk about him or why he made his decision. But I've been in this position before. Where, and it was recently, in fact, I had to go to I've had to go to a court and say, Judge, I have entered this case. I'm representing this client accused of this crime. And I've been on the case for a while. Now I have to withdraw. I am filing a motion to withdraw. And I'm asking the court to allow me off the case. And you have to get permission and an order to do that. You don't automatically get off a case. The judge has to let you off. And the prime reason most lawyers do this is for money. Client says, I'll pay you to show up and do my trial. Client doesn't pay you to show up and do the trial. Judge, I haven't been paid. He's promised to pay me a reasonable fee. He's reneged on his promise, and I'm working for free. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm telling you, I had a case in a county west of here. It was a misdemeanor a long time ago. I learned my lesson. I filed that motion, and the judge said, no. You have to try the case. So there I
am.
That's
tough.
There
that
I
is
am.
Tough, yeah.
Penniless, having to try a case. Worse yet, I won the damn thing.
But learned a lesson on pro bono. That's what you learn.
Because here's how I operate. I've tried some of the biggest cases of my career for almost nothing. And I have tried some of the biggest cases of my career and some of the littlest cases for lots of money. It's on me. You know, my client stiffed me. I didn't get paid, but I'm doing it. I said I would do it. I said it to the court. I'll do it. And I'm going to tackle that beast and get it done. So money is the first reason, or mostly the reason that people withdraw. I don't think that's what's going on here with mm-hmm. Rico, though. I think there's something else. Sometimes you run into, Troy, you brought something up where your client has disclosed, like, look, maybe let's talk hypothetical. You're representing the worst of the worst, a kidnapper, and he tells you, by the way, I got my guy out there. He's about to go kidnap somebody else, and I'm not going to tell you who he is or what he's doing, but he's going to do it, and you're going to see it on the news after the fact. You'd be like, F you, dude. F you for saying that to me. I can't represent you anymore. I hate you. It's tainted my ability to be objective in this case now. So go screw yourself. Judge, I have a problem. Now, judge is going to say, what's your problem? And you're going to say, I can't tell you. It's privileged.
You can't say that. You can't go up to the judge and be like, hey, My guy's got, like, knows where the kid is.
So we did an episode on attorney-client privilege. Now, this is one of those where I think you're permitted, and I've already talked to our ethics expert. He's going to do a show with us on some of this stuff.
Okay.
But this is one of those where you may be permitted to divulge that information, but you can't be compelled to divulge that information. And now you're in this weird dilemma. But let's take that out of the equation. It's something else he told you just don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he threatened you, or maybe, who knows?
He's like, the Diddy parties are still going on. They're on a secret island.
Or he says, look, your wife was there, by the way.
Oh.
Na-na-na-na-na. Now what do you do? Judge, I got to withdraw. Why? Can't tell you. All I can tell you is it's a significant conflict of interest. I can't ethically, morally, and personally represent this guy. And most of the time, the judge will let you off the case. Most of the time. There are circumstances where you may have to go put something on the record in camera, meaning outside anybody else's knowledge, that gets sealed. But even then, that gets dangerous. Most of the time, for situations, if I posit to the judge, tell the judge, I've got an ethical dilemma on this case that I can't disclose, but I'm telling you professionally, judge, I am compromised. I can't do it. Most of the time, the judge will let you off. If it's for money, he doesn't have to. Now, there are conflicts of interest that just prevent you from if I could be a witness in a case, for instance, I can't be the lawyer. I just can't. If I've represented one of the witnesses in a case, I can't be. It's a conflict of interest. I can't cross-examine my own client. Those things are clear conflicts. And sometimes I've had to tell judge, I have a conflict of interest here. I can't disclose what it is, but I can tell you professionally, I'm not permitted under the rules to represent this guy any longer. And maybe that's what happened here. I suspect, reading the story that I did, another problem emerged. And that is, there's a bunch of lawyers, a team, and maybe you got too many cooks in the kitchen. And I saw that somebody wants to raise an issue about this being a race-based prosecution. Somebody else is, I mean, I don't know if that's valid or not. I have no idea. But if
you already kind of said that in the TMZ interview.
Yeah, so there was something like that going on. And maybe your lawyer said, look, I don't think that's the case here. I think this involves something else. I don't think that's a valid line of defense. I don't want to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other lawyers do. So you can say, look, you guys go forth and prosper. Have fun. I'm out. And that may be the case. It may be that my client wants me to press a defense that I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my client has confessed to me that he did something, but then he says, I'm going to go on the witness. I want to testify and lie and say I didn't do it. You know, these all pose valid, legitimate reasons why we would withdraw from a case. And most of the time, the judge not only can or will let you up, but has to.
I know Diddy, well, I guess I don't know, but
you're
I heard
at the party.
I heard Diddy, he really wants to go to trial. He's determined to go to trial. So would the judge let the attorney off if maybe there was so much evidence against him that he knows that they wouldn't win if they went to trial, and like Diddy just
no,
would that
maybe
be a fair reason? Or
so what I think what you're saying is, look, there's overwhelming evidence. My client won't plead guilty. He wants to go to trial. Judge, I just can't agree with that decision. You're getting into that realm. It's like the judge is going to say, well, give me your TS card. My English teacher was an Army guy, and he said, yeah, they said, give me your TS card, your tough shit card. I'll punch it for you. Mr. Merchant, I need more time. Well, give me your TS card. I'll punch it for you. What's that mean? It means you got to hand it in anyway. You got to do the judge may just say, look, I get it, man. Do your damn job. You know, I had a good friend who's, this is crazy, but, you know, his family dog passed away unexpectedly, and he was on the verge of starting a trial. And he's like, judge, I can't do it. You know, my kids are, everybody's, like, my life's in chaos. I can't focus on this. Judge says, give me your TS card. Try the case anyway. You know, be a big boy. Yeah. And, you know, at some point, the judge goes too far there. You know, you can't say, like, judge, you put on the record, judge, I'm doing the best I can here, but I'm telling you right now, on behalf of my client, I can't concentrate. I'm not focused on this. He's not getting my best. That's how I'd handle it. Like, this man deserves effective assistance of counsel. I'm not effective right now, and I'm telling him, and I'm telling you on the record.
And then the Court of Appeals will be like, it was a trial strategy. The dog, he just used it. Yeah. They'll find a way
to hose you.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of reasons why Rico may want off the case, and they might be legitimate. They might be personal. He might just not like Diddy. He might not like the other lawyers. It might be that his check bounced. I don't know. So look, this is going to be a great trial. If he's going to trial on this, this is going to be, what was the other guy? The producer, forget his name. I'm terrible.
You're talking about the one with all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shoot.
You know, that
just
case
went over in women in law too.
Yeah. That case had its fanfare and
bigger guy.
Yeah. I'm forgetting his name.
Henry. Weinstein.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah,
yeah. So that guy, you know, that's a similar type of case. It got some sensation for a while, but it quickly, you know, he was summarily convicted, and that's that. But we did an episode earlier today about this too, about the sensationalism of cases. And P. Diddy is going to be a sensationalized case. You know, it's going to be all over. And if they play the race card, that's going to make it a big deal. And it might be true. Maybe there's some racial motive for it. I have no idea. But I suspect that there's plenty of evidence. We'll see.
I feel like if the feds are involved,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like they don't get involved unless they got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, this is Lawyer Talk Off the Record. They Don't Teach You That in Law School series with Isabella Mata. Isabella, are we allowed to call you Isabella? Bella Mata,
sure.
And Troy Henriksen. Check us out. We've got lots of cool topics we're covering. Check out our other series, too. We've got a Q&A. We've got a breakdown. We started a new one called What's the Appeal? We're talking about the appellate process, DUIs. Lots of stuff going on at LawyerTalkPodcast.com, on the socials, everywhere. We are Off the Record on the air. Till next week.